Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services
at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. 800-610-9070.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 16th, 2018. And yes, you might not know it with the cold and sore throat, but I am Dave Graveline. Thank you for tuning into the program. You know, the show must go on. That's what we in the broadcasting business say, right?
Sure.
Sure. And you are?
I'm Chris Graveline.
It's going to be mostly the Chris Graveline show today because I'm going to just mellow out and push the buttons and control the levels, that's all.
There you go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Ross Moe and Horatio in the control room, separated by the glass so that they don't catch my cold.
Right, so next
although I
week,
think I got it from H, but we're not going to say
well, you know, we'll see. Next week, I'll probably sound like you.
All right, then.
Because I'm going to spend this next 3 hours sitting across, right across the table from you.
But I'll cough the other direction, and I'll turn off my mic, and it'll be something like this. Like that. You know, every so often you may hear that during the show. But again, that show must go on. Thank you for joining us on the program. Our 23rd year covering the latest in consumer tech, products and services, gadgets, gizmos, all kinds of things available today and into tomorrow. I know people are saying, well, then shut up already and rest your voice. Well, then it would be a lot of this. See, dead air, which would freak out our stations.
Yeah, they probably triggered a lot of the automated things at our affiliates.
We wouldn't want that to happen. Yes. So, Chris will do more talking. I, of course, will still be involved.
And of course, speaking of Into Tomorrow, one of the world's renowned physicists has now gone Into Tomorrow.
So remember to look up at the stars and not down at your feet. Try to make sense of what you see and wonder about what makes the universe exist. Be curious. And however difficult life may seem, there is always something you can do and succeed at. It matters that you don't just give up.
That's for sure. The legendary physicist Stephen Hawking, of course, by now you heard, passed away this past week at the age of 76. At 22, he wasn't supposed to live more than 2 years once he was diagnosed. Certainly one of the world's most knowledgeable scientists about the universe and influenced so many people over the years. He completely lost his speech in 1985 after a bout of pneumonia. Stephen Hawking, dead at 76.
But, as one of the headlines I saw, he's only dead in this world.
That's a good point. A lot of people were saying that Stephen Hawking dead only from our universe. So he's out there somewhere, hopefully listening as we, scan the airwaves and space and so forth and just learning so much more about the universe and the things that he was able to uncover and come up with. And his discussions of black holes and all sorts of things were just tremendous for a whole lot of folks. So he will be missed, certainly. And his voice that we knew over the last many years, since 1985.
Yeah, and he kept that same voice synthesized speech from 1985 because he said that even through advancements in speech technology, he said that was what was identified with him. And everybody knew that that was his voice.
Yeah. And he did so well on TV shows. He was on The Big Bang Theory. He was on cartoons.
He was in at least one episode that I saw of Star Trek The Next Generation, playing poker with the crew.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, certainly a very fulfilling life and a wonderful guy. Easy to call him a legend by all means. So he shall be missed, but things that he taught a lot of us will stay with us forever.
Yes, ironically enough, with everything he accomplished, they were saying he never won a Nobel Prize.
Of all people who deserve it, that's true. Well, maybe posthumously, or do they not do that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. If not, then he'd be a good one to start with.
So in other tech news, lawyers across the state of Utah all received a very not-safe-for-work image in their email boxes.
Uh-oh.
A photo of a topless woman. The photo was sent in an email advertising the upcoming Utah State Bar's annual spring convention.
Cool.
No, not necessarily.
The Utah Bar confirmed that it did indeed send the email out and also apologized on Twitter, saying, "Apologies to all who received an inappropriate email from the Utah State Bar. We are aware of the situation and are investigating the matter." Communications Director Matt Page said that the email was created in-house and said that he himself made the image advertisement for the spring event, but it did not include a picture of a topless woman.
Sure. Now he's backtracking, right?
Yeah. Twitter was abuzz with news of the email throughout the afternoon, with one user warning Utah lawyers, in all caps, "Do not open the latest state bar email at work. Very NSFW, and I cannot stop laughing."
Oh, well, that, of course, meant nobody would open it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Another lawyer joked that he wants $100 deducted from his next bar dues, he says, to compensate for my loss of innocence.
Wait, lawyer, loss of innocence doesn't go in the same sentence.
You have to have innocence to lose it to begin with.
True. Oh, my gosh. But they never figured out, at least as of airtime, how that happened?
How it happened.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I would line up the interns and and say, what the heck? Interesting. You may recall us talking a lot about the Yahoo breaches of millions of their accounts, which happened from 2013 to 2016. Many people are suing Yahoo, now owned by Verizon, of course, saying they were not disclosed quickly enough. Well, last week, a U.S. district judge in San Jose rejected the bid by Verizon to dismiss many claims, such as negligence, breach of contract, fraud, and deceit by executives who are accused of knowing about the security problems but doing nothing and hiding them for a long time from the public. The judge said that the plaintiff's allegations are sufficient to show that they would have behaved differently had defendants disclosed the security weaknesses of the Yahoo mail system. That's a big legal term. Duh. You know, if you knew that your account had been hacked, now you could change it. You could change password. You can change your banking info, whatever, quickly and protect yourself. They waited months and took forever to disclose this. Of course you would have acted differently. So now Yahoo users in the U.S. can sue the company over the former tech giant's massive record-setting data breach, and Verizon's going to have to pay for it.
Oh, lovely.
Well, that's what they get for buying Yahoo. I mean, how appropriate is that, for crying out loud?
A bunch of Yahoos buying Yahoo.
Yeah. Touche. And all this time I'm looking for that sound effect and just can't find it to save my life.
There
yeah, thanks.
All right, well, pull up the chairs, kids. It's time for story time with Chris.
Uh-oh. So can I close the mic and take some more water and more cold medicine?
You know, because, you know, this is, of course, because, you know, Comcast doesn't seem to care that I have access to a microphone.
Oh, one of those stories. Yeah. A Comcast one. Oh, I'm rubbing my hands.
You know, or Comcast or Comcrap or whatever you want to call them these days. You know, I've been talking for the last, you know, couple of months about cutting the cord at home. I had signed up for the Hulu Live service, which has been great for me. I've noticed I stopped using my Comcast altogether.
And H suggested that to you on one of our recent remote broadcast trips. And we're talking about it over dinner in the airport. And he's telling you about Hulu Live and how you should take advantage, far much less expensive and the whole bit. You did. You signed up.
By the time I got home, I had signed up for the service. Because, you know, my whole issue with Comcast is I had gotten to a point with my cable and my internet bundle. I was paying over $240 a month.
Oh, my God.
And it was ridiculous. It was too much. And, you know, this Hulu Live I could get for $35 a month with all the access to all the Hulu channels and then live streaming. And so I decided I'm going to go with the Hulu Live. I'll dump my Comcast cable and keep my internet because Comcast, of course, is unfortunately the only choice I have for internet where I live. It's either Comcast or satellite.
Yeah. Hmm.
So after a while, I called Comcast on Saturday morning and I said, okay, I'd like to cancel my cable service, but I see that you had a deal online for 25 megabit internet for $24.95 a month. I'd like to go ahead and do that deal.
Sure. I mean, it's a small amount, 25 megabits, but it should do the job. You need 7 or 8 to stream, and right. Hulu's going to stream for you. And you don't need their TV content. You only wanted the internet connection.
And I was told, well, you can't do that deal. I said, why not? They said, well, it's only
on their website.
I said, it's only for new customers. I said, well, that's fine. I'm willing to sign another agreement. They said, no, you have to be only a new customer. You can't do that. So, you know, after going back and forth forever.
So disconnect and do it the next day.
Well, that's what I told him. But he says, "Oh no, no, no! You have to be disconnected for 90 days to be considered a new customer."
Oh, that sounds like a typical Comcast gimmick.
So after about 20 minutes going back and forth and comparing different plans, you know, it finally worked out that I was going to get a package that what they called their Internet Plus, which was 60 megabits internet speed and a few TV channels, but it was going to be like $65 a month total. The guy said.
Hmm.
I said, "All right, fine, sign up for it." So he sent me a text message with something I had to click to accept, and he said, "All right, everything's in line, just return your unused cable boxes to your local Comcast office." I said, "Cool, no problem, I could do it."
I just put mine in the lake, but okay.
Yeah. Well, but then they keep charging me $10 a month for each one until I pull them out of the lake and return them.
Oh.
So the next day I come up and I notice that my TV channels, I still have all of the channels, and I don't know what's going on. So I check on my account online and I still have the old plan.
Oh, the one that you said to disconnect.
Yes. So I called back to Comcast. Talked to somebody who said, "Oh, well, the department you talked to was the cancellation department. They're the only ones that can give you those kind of rates. I can't give you that rate, and they're not here today on Sunday, so you have to call back tomorrow." I said, "Okay, well, just for grins, what's the best you can do?" For the same plan they were going to give me for what worked out to be $65 a month, she said, "Oh, it'll be about $142 a month."
Oh, my God.
"Are you serious?" I said, "Well, then just give me the rate." She goes, "No, that's the cancellation department's the only one that has the power to give you that rate." So I said, "Fine, okay, I'll have to call back tomorrow."
Because you realize the cancellation department for Comcast is the last-ditch effort where they can say, "Please don't go, please, what can we do? We'll come and we'll wash your windows for you," or something, you know.
Yeah,
and but they don't work on Sundays.
Exactly.
Because they're not desperate.
Right, because people apparently don't cancel their cable on Sundays.
No, never, right.
So I wait, and on Monday afternoon I call back, and I speak to somebody else in the cancellation department.
Oh, now this must have been...
"Here I come to save the day."
Yeah, let's just say that, you know, I ended up having to say some words that I can't really repeat on the radio.
You mean Erosmo would have to bleep
yes.
you?
Yes. Oh. And I was told in not so friendly fashion, "Well, I don't know who would have told you that you can get that rate because we don't even offer internet at 60 megabits. I'm thinking, well, that's funny because just a few weeks ago I got a postcard in the mail.
And it's on their website.
And it's on their website." You know, she says, "We don't have that plan." I was like, "Okay, well, what's the cheapest you give me?" I said, "I don't care about cable TV. I don't watch TV. I just need internet. If I have to bundle TV with it, fine. What's the cheapest rate I can get for internet?" "Well, I can get you this performance internet or whatever. It was 25 megabit. She said it'd be $89 a month, plus you have a $10 cable box fee, and another $10 fee for HD, and then an $11 a month fee to rent the cable modem. So it's going to be over $100-something anyway."
And they actually have the nerve to call that their performance plan?
And again, this was the cancellation department, the same department, supposedly, that I talked to on Friday who gave me that special rate. So now I said, "Fine, you know what, if that's just the case, just cancel all my service, effective immediately. I don't want it anymore." She says, "Okay, sir, I'll just go ahead and do that."
Ooh.
I said, "Okay." And she's
a little snotty there.
And she said, "And when do you want this effective?" I said, "Well, as I just said, effective immediately."
Oh.
She said, "Okay, well, you've already been billed for today, so it'll take effect at midnight tonight." I said, "Okay." So I actually stayed up till midnight to watch so I can see my TV get turned off and post that picture, and it stayed on at midnight.
Oh, really?
And as of today, I still have cable TV and internet because Comcast can't even be trusted to turn off my
call. And this was 3 or 4 days ago?
3 or 4 days ago. This was after 3 or 4 phone calls. So in order, I guess, to get my cable turned off, apparently I'm just going to have to go to the local Comcast office, dump my equipment on the counter, and say, "Turn my stuff off."
Get a receipt.
Yeah.
Document who you speak with and who you left everything with, et cetera, before they continue to bill you. And they will anyway, probably, but...
You know, and that's, and again, it's the unfortunate thing is the only option I have for internet is Comcast. So, but I'm going to wait the 90 days, and I'll try to go 90 days with just my T-Mobile on my phone. And,
oh, God,
which,
good luck.
You know, I don't get very good signal at my house. But I'll try to go for the 90 days so that I can then qualify for their new customer rate.
Well, not only do you not get good T-Mobile signal at your house, but then don't they throttle you down if you try to tether your phone? Yes, you know, anybody else, you can get whatever signal you're getting. You know, maybe you can get some 4G and hotspot. T-Mobile, as I unfortunately discovered, will throttle you down to barely more than dial-up speed.
Yeah, because they call it 3G, but it's not, because the speed for tethering is about 512K, which is, you know, half a meg.
And for video, you typically need 4 or 5 at least.
Right. You know, of course, you can pay for a tethering plan, which gets you higher speeds. But
of course, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Wow.
So that was my tech rage. You know, I'm sorry if I put anybody off, but thanks for letting me vent.
Don't apologize, because you know, a lot of our audience does the same thing, and we encourage you to do that. You know, you're welcome to tech rage anything about technology that you'd like to share with us, and Chris's unfortunate example with Comcast is why I don't deal with them at all anymore. And I'm so thrilled. Rick in Spirit Lake, Idaho, welcome into Tomorrow.
Purchased an iPhone 8 and didn't realize it didn't have a jack for listening to music so I can plug it in my shop. So I'm having a little trouble. Is there a way to charge the iPhone 8 at the same time with still streaming music? Seemingly, the battery doesn't last very long, and I have to tend to stop my music while I'm working on something, charge my phone, then I can restart the music a little bit later. Kind of frustrating. I'm not too well with the Bluetooth stuff either. I don't know a whole lot about this computer stuff, so if you could help me out in any way, that'd be great.
Well, Rick, it would be our pleasure. It's what we are here for. You're trying to plug two things into your phone at once. You must be crazy. According to Apple, at least, because lucky for you, though, you can avoid Bluetooth if you want to by buying an adapter that will either split your Lightning port onto two ports, or into two ports, if you will, or onto a Lightning port for charging and a stereo output that you can plug your regular headphones into. Now, depending on the one you buy, it can cost you as little as $7 or as much as maybe $35 or $40 for a brand name like Belkin, for example, but at least it'll be good quality.
Alternatively, you can do what I actually do at home because, while I have Bluetooth speakers, I found that when I'm listening to it louder, like when I'm working in the house, the Bluetooth, I don't get as good sound quality as I do plugging in an actual jack. So you could buy a QI charger, which is what I have at home, and you set your phone down on it to charge while you plug your headphones directly into the phone.
A lot of folks are doing that. It took Apple forever to do QI charging. It's only, the 8 and the 10 now, I think, that can do it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, I'm going to say it again, my Android devices, the last 5 or 6 that I've owned, have had QI charging for some time. I don't know why Apple didn't like it, but they finally got caught up.
Yeah.
So if you have an iPhone 8 or 10, you can actually do the wireless charging. And he did mention he just bought an iPhone 8. So that would be one way to help solve that problem.
And the QI chargers are fairly inexpensive. You can find them for as little as $10, though they can go up to about $50 or more.
Yeah, remember, though, the $10 ones are not going to work all that well, generally. Or they're the side door Korean stuff, knockoff from China via Taiwan. Maybe it'll work for 20 minutes.
Now, the more expensive chargers are usually meant for several devices at once, so you can probably get away with one of those cheaper ones.
Mm-hmm.
Just look for the name brands. If it's a brand that you've never heard of, I would stay away from it. And check, because usually the name brands also have warranties, so if it doesn't work well within a year, you can get a new one.
Or if it's only $7, $8, $10 and you're not going to leave your phone and leave the area where in case it should do something unfortunate, you won't be aware, then go for it. I mean, because it's cheap. I have some friends that say they bought several and just put them around their office, around their house, the cheap ones. And they just keep an eye. They don't ever leave the phone. They just put it over there and charge it. If they smell smoke or if see flames, then they'll deal with it. But for the most part, it's been working out for them. So save some money if you can, sure.
If you're ever tempted to give Bluetooth a try, once you pair your Bluetooth device, you're pretty much set. You just turn on your headphones and they'd connect, turn them off, and they disconnect. It's a pretty user-friendly technology. Now, unfortunately, the removal of the headphone jack is probably going to continue to be an expanding trend. In fact, Apple didn't even start it. Motorola did with the Moto Z a few months before Apple.
Mm-hmm.
After Apple, HTC followed. Motorola doubled down with the Z2. And, of course, Google removed it on their Pixel and Pixel 2 lines. So there's a good chance that you're going to keep seeing more and more brands removing the headphone jack as more and more people get adjusted to the idea.
Yeah. Hope we helped you out, Rick. Stay tuned. There's more at intotomorrow.com.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now, 800-948-6519, 800-948-6519. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. 800-948-6519. That's 800-948-6519. NMLS number 1136.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
Chris Graveline.
And it's time for our popular App of the Week segment, but we have such a short segment here, we're just going to get right to it. Terry in Carthage, Missouri, listens to the podcast and calling in using the Android app. Hey, Terry.
Got a favorite app of the week. It's called Weigh My Truck. It's by Cat Scales. It's available on Android and iOS. This app, you go in and once you install on your phone, you set up a payment method with it and enter your truck information. And every time you have to weigh your truck for professional truck drivers, you simply pull into a truck stop that has a Cat Scale. And within 2 to 3 minutes, it's got your weight. It's paid for, and it emails you a copy of the weigh ticket. If you have to reweigh, then you adjust your weight, repeat the process, and it sends you that information as well. It's really a time saver, especially with electronic logs now. And I love it. It saves me tons of time. I've been using it for probably close to a year now. You guys have a great show. Keep up the good work. Loved it.
Well, thank you, Terry. Weigh My Truck. Check it out. And because he mentioned not only the app that he's recommending, but he requested the Jabra earbuds. I happen to have eyeballed a pair, and I'm going to put them aside. He's going to get them, and he's going to love them. IntoTomorrow.com for more.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-461-3151. That's 1-800-461-3151. Again, 1-800-461-3151.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for tuning into the program. More importantly, I want to thank you personally for calling in and participating on the program. If you've got any question at all about consumer tech, any digital dilemma, maybe you want to share with us some tech rage, a little something not working quite the way it should in your tech world, maybe you want to help another listener, maybe you just want to share with us your favorite app these days, all of those things and then some, when we hear you on the air, automatically doesn't just qualify you to win prizes, you get prizes when we hear your voice on the air. And it really is easy to do. Here, I've got a pen. Jot down this number, 1-800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. Good from anywhere in North America. You can Skype into it from anywhere in the world if you'd like. Again, 800-899-4686. Or use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow apps. And of course, I'm sure you already follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff at IT Radio Show on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, fb.com/Into Tomorrow. And I'd love it if you get social with me as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all easy, all the same, at Dave Graveline, just like it sounds. And glad to get social with you. Our next guest is a clinical forensic psychologist here to talk about problems with Facebook addiction. What? No, you don't know anyone like that, do you? Come on, we all have, I think, a little, at least a little, Facebook addiction. Clinical psychologist with Mainstream Mental Health is Dr. John Huber. Dr. John, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
I am amazing, and thanks for having me on, Dave.
I'm glad you're amazing, because that makes a much more interesting interview. If you had said, like my line of adequate, then that would perhaps not have been as much fun. So.
Well, I just from talking with you, I know you're much more than adequate.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I don't do anything unless we can have fun with it. And it's odd, because here we are talking about mental health, but you got to have a sense of humor, I think, especially with some of these issues. We'll get into some more serious things, too, of course. But you've got to be able to have some sense of humor to be able to cope, I think, with a lot of stuff. And especially if we're talking about vulnerability in human psychology. And Facebook comes to mind, man, if we can't at least chuckle about it and then say, now what do we do? You know, we're in trouble.
Well, life is too short not to smile and laugh as much as possible. That's kind of my motto. But when you look at Facebook, it really is addictive. In fact, we've measured that when people like a post that you have, you actually get a little bitty dopamine burst. Much like when somebody sees you across the room, a friend of yours, and they smile and wave at you.
Now, only see, so there you go. Likes are important.
They are, but the problem with the likes on social media, not just Facebook, but the other, you know, Instagram and Snapchat and like that, is that they're very much like saccharin. You feel good when you drink that Diet Coke. It feels like it's satisfying, but there's absolutely no nutritional value in it.
Yes, and you come crashing down if it were a sugar high, and then what do you do? You have to get more
likes.
Well,
you go back online.
Yes.
Right, you go back online and you try to stimulate that until you get to a point where you're like, hey, I'm you know, posting all these negative things, and nobody likes you, and it makes it even worse. You do fall into depression.
Nobody likes you. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Nobody likes you.
I know. Well, before we get more into Facebook addiction and what to do about it, it just certainly occurred to me, what about people who only post, always, only selfies, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or otherwise? Like, that's their life, and it's all about likes, and it's, you know, attempting to be a model or something constantly, but that's their entire social media is only them. Maybe once in a while their dog, but usually it's only them. And, you know, I worry about those people. Should I?
I think you should. I mean, the research shows that people who do excessive selfies actually more than likely have some sort of diagnosable mental disorder, whether it's depression or some sort of delusional disorder, like they think they really are, you know, some major supermodel and stuff like that.
And those that I know, John, they are delusional. So you hit it on the head. You hit the nail on the head. So, you know, if they're listening, pay attention. You know, it's not a...
Pay attention.
Pay attention, exactly. It's not about how many likes for your 100,000 selfies. And you wonder why I unfollow you. I know what you look like already, okay? Oh, now I know what you look like in that shirt. Oh, now I know what you... Oh, please. You know, now I know what you look like with your leg up against the wall. Oh,
exactly. And holding that puppy dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting bit by your hamster, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. But yeah, put something else in the picture, even if it's your meal once in a while. Just give me something other than you. So, okay.
Well, and the research specifically indicates too that if you have seven or more social media apps, you're three times more likely to be have major depressive disorder.
Oh my God! I didn't even know there were seven social media things,
and I
host a tech show.
Right. Well, I had a friend at lunch, and we were talking about that, and he goes, "Oh, there's not even seven." And we went on, and in about 60 seconds, we found over 100 social media apps.
Very true.
On the, yeah.
Oh my God!
So
well, then,
there's
let's,
a ton of them.
Oh, for sure. Let's get back to Facebook addiction anyway, because I think a lot of folks listening are saying, "Yeah, I hear you. I'm on it, and you got to just keep scrolling because you're afraid you're going to miss something, and then you know you don't want to comment a lot because then you get everybody else's comments until you go in and turn them off, and so you like or you sad face or you anger or wow or whatever, because wow, at least now we have some more options. But it's right. It's putting it down. And now, of course, what has Facebook done, if those who haven't been on recently haven't realized this? But you go to escape from the app, and no. It's going to reload first with new information, because don't you leave us, you're going to miss something.
That's right. And, you know, they're genius. They really are when it comes to interacting with society and getting people to do that. And that ability to not just look at somebody else's post, but to react to it, that like, that was pure and utter marketing genius right there.
Oh, for sure. I give them credit for that. Just like, you know, the soda manufacturers putting sugar or any other fake sweetener.
Caffeine,
exactly. Coffee makers, whatever. Genius, because you crave it. And this is the same thing. And it works very much, I'm assuming, and you're the psychologist, I'm not, but tell me, it works very much like any other addiction.
In fact, the same chemical mechanisms going on in your brain are triggering, only not as intense as like heroin, but the exact same mechanisms are firing off. So yeah, it's very addictive.
And at least it's a free app, so it's cheaper than heroin. But
I can buy all the new marketing stuff that's in there.
Now that's true. How many sponsored apps or posts that you realize you get into it and go, wait a minute, let me back out of the sponsored. No wonder. You know, they're just really selling me this thing, and of course I'm only going to buy two.
Right,
whatever.
Right. Just two.
Just two, because we got to exercise some control of some sort. But
And that's really what we can do right there, is the control thing. Mm. And, you know, in my house, you know, for my kids to stay online, they have to go and do physical activity. They have to, my daughter's on a basketball team. My son's a second degree black belt.
Whoa.
And he also participates in three competitive choirs. They're going to be in Boston in the spring, and you know, they do all this stuff. But that's the price they have to pay if they want to stay online in my house. And I do it, and my wife does it, but we do it. We're both black belts, and we both train and, you know, do sword fighting and nunchucks and throwing knives and all these wonderful things.
Oh, nice. I'm glad this is a phone interview. I don't want to upset you. But with that in mind, Dr. John Huber, can I get you to hold a moment while we pay a couple of bills? I've got to hold you over. We never do this with these interviews, but there's more tips and hints I got to get from you, more discussion. I want to find out a little bit more about mainstreammentalhealth.org, and we'll do that right after we do this on Into Tomorrow here on the Advance Media Network.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. We're talking with clinical psychologist from mainstreammentalhealth.org, Dr. John Huber. And John, you were sharing with us your own family experience about how, fine, you want to use Facebook and be on it, and we all do at some point or other, some more than others, but you've also got to be active. Now, and I think that can work for a lot of parents to say, no big deal. You can have your screen time with your social media, but as you said, in your kids' cases, you know, you go out and you play volleyball, or you do, you know, more karate, or you do that, whatever the case. But
right,
that seems to work for you. Do you think it would work for most parents to do the same thing? It's like it's almost, you know, earning the right to do these social medias.
Well, it is earning the right to do it, and that's what life is about. You know, you have to produce in order to spend money, so why not have them produce and do physical things? And in my case, the kids also have to maintain good grades.
Good.
And that's a requirement, and they know that because we've cut them off the Wi-Fi. You know, we have a nice little Wi-Fi that's got a parent app, and we can just cut off their hardware. We can limit it and only give them like 30 minutes or 2 hours or however much time we want to give them. And it works wonders. When we did that when they were little in elementary school with the desktop computers that they had access to, we changed the password every night into a 13-digit number. And they would have to do math problems and then put those numbers in the end to be able to access the computer.
Well, we're watching Chris and others in the control room with like, oh, I like that for my kids. So there you go. So even something like that can make a difference in a child's life. Maybe initially it's like, oh, come on. You know, hey, this is how you earn it.
And it teaches them right off the bat that, okay, this isn't free.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Now, let me ask you before we get too far away from Facebook addiction, which is probably not going to happen, what are the short and long-term effects? Because when we talk about any kind of addiction, it seems like you know, those in your profession are always discussing both short and long-term effects and how to deal with them. What are they?
Well, one of the things that we see that is hitting the marketplace are business owners who are hiring college graduates who've only had a life with smartphones, and they don't know how to answer a phone professionally.
That's
now they're used to, you know, so there's some social implications that are happening. One of the things when I interview people for a clinical diagnosis or the patients in the hospitals that I go to, you know, eye contact is very important. You may not be able to do very much physically, but if you can make eye contact, that tells me tons about where you're at consciously. And kids are not learning that. They're staring at their screens, and when somebody talks to them, they keep their eyes on their screens, and they're trying to listen to what you say.
That's true. And from a business standpoint, you mentioned not knowing how to answer a business phone. What about that personal interaction? Somebody walks into the store or the business or whatever. Oh, my gosh, it's a live human being. Now what do I do? And that's dangerous.
When you think about long-term effects, you know, for our generation, you know, we worry about things like osteoporosis and, you know, bone density loss and broken hips. And we worry about that, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s on up. Mm-hmm. Well, because our kids aren't being active, this is a time, you know, in their teen years, elementary school and young adulthood, where they build up that density. And the suggestions are because they're sedentary and they're not active, that these bone density issues are going to start kicking in maybe even in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Wow.
So they may be incapacitated and essentially, you know, wheelchair-bound or having to have artificial hips and knees at a much younger age than ever before.
But doctor, so, how again, do you convince your kids of those kinds of concerns when they're saying, no, I'm fine, I'm healthy, you know, I get out and I run around or I walk or I ride a bike a little bit, but then I'm right on Facebook again, or I'm Snapchatting about whatever it is I'm doing. But how do we convince the kids that I'm telling you this is something you're going to have to be concerned about?
Well, I know your first thought is electroconvulsive therapy, so it's kind of hard to hook those up to the chair. But
boy, you know me well already. Short interview, you know me. Maybe it's the former police officer in me. I don't know, but
we just use stun guns around here.
Yeah, there you go.
But how do we convince them? Well, you know, it comes down to, you know, this is the cost of doing business. If you're not going to go do that, you don't have access to your computer. You don't have access to the internet. It's just like if you don't go to work, you don't pay rent.
Yeah. Consequences.
Exactly. And those tend to work better than any kind of punishment. And what I find is, you know, me having a very calm, nonchalant, matter-of-fact attitude about it. And I just, hey, you know, you didn't pay your rent this month and cut off their computer. Boy, they're outside exercising, playing basketball, and doing extra practices, you know, and they're making up for lost time.
Yep.
So.
And getting better grades because now they have to study, they have to spend some time on schoolwork more so than normal, perhaps.
Yes.
So I'm loving that whole attitude. Do you think now, though, that at any age, that Facebook and other social media has had such a human psychology impact that are we having trouble, except you and I, of course, interacting with each other? Do you think that
that's... I think they are.
Really? Really?
Yeah, and an example is, you know, I do evaluations, and I work with kids all the way through adults, and I've had to go into high schools recently to evaluate some students, high schoolers, and it used to be, you know, the cafeteria is one of the loudest places. Now it's one of the quietest places. I sit down next to my patient, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm talking with my friends. And I'm like, okay, well, it looks like you're texting. Well, yeah, but they're here, and they were, like, sitting around the table, were texting instead of actually talking.
Oh, that's terrible. And I know husbands and wives do the same thing often, too, and it's like, but I'm right here. Just ask me. No, because I don't want to interrupt, you know. Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, Dr. John Huber, clinical psychologist, mainstreammentalhealth.org. You really got to visit his site because they've got all kinds of very good information. Be the solution to problems as well, not just a problem. Whether you feel you've got some social media addictions or your kids do or your parents do, whatever the case, visit there. We'll link you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Dr. John Huber, I got to get you back on the show again soon. There's so much more we barely scratched the surface of.
That is so true, Dave. And you have a great show. I've been listening to it for a long time.
Well, thank you.
And it's an honor to be on it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I didn't even know that. That's awesome. MainstreamMentalHealth.org. We'll get you there. Hit us up at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue on the Advanced Media Network.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Call 800-523-9112. That's 800-523-9112. Again, 800-523-9112.
Opening the information conduit all the way into tomorrow. Thank you for joining us on the program. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Don't forget you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our free Into Tomorrow app and by visiting our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by StreamGuys.com.
Oh, by the way, don't forget to call in. Win stuff anytime, 24/7.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History. Here's Chris.
History, history. You know, with this cold, I'm several octaves deeper now. History,
yeah.
History.
Okay. This week in 1857, Elisha Otis of Otis Elevator fame installed the world's first passenger elevator at 488 Broadway in New York City.
Ooh.
In 1931, Schick Incorporated.
I beg your pardon?
Schick.
Oh.
Schick. That's with a CK.
Oh, gotcha.
At the Razor Company, they displayed the first electric shaver in Stamford, Connecticut. In 1981, this week, RCA put its Selectrovision laser disc players on the market. Soon, the product was called the Edsel of the entertainment field, after the Ford Edsel automobile that had failed miserably. In 1985, this week, IBM announced that it was planning to stop making the PC Junior consumer-oriented computer. The machine had been expected to dominate the home computer market, but didn't quite live up to those expectations.
Goodbye.
In the 16 months that the PC Junior was on the market, only about 240,000 units were sold. In 1990 this week, Microsoft Windows 3.0 was released. This version offered dramatic performance increases for Windows applications.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
In 2001, the Russian Mir space station was disposed of, breaking up in the atmosphere before falling into the southern Pacific Ocean near Fiji. And this week in 2006, the social media site Twitter was founded. Now, after only 12 years, the popular social media platform has over 330 million active users. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances. Get more information at ifa-berlin.com.
When you also come by intotomorrow.com.